I'm beginning a series this week for the next 4 weeks with us, talking to us about this subject of where is Jesus? And I think the news headlines over the past several weeks and months now have prepared us for this moment to really take time to say, okay, where is Jesus in the midst of everything that's happening? So we're going to be talking about that the next 4 weeks. Let me welcome our campuses that are joining with us. We're glad you're with us today. My name is Eddie Couples, and I get the opportunity every week not only to preach here, but to preach to several different campuses that are part of the Love and Truth Ministries. We're glad you're there today. Believe God's got something great for all of us as we go together into His Word. Now, here's what I'm going to be talking about today on this whole subject of where is Jesus. The title of today's sermon is When Life is Normal. Now, how many of you have found that normal is kind of a relative term, right? Anybody else found that? 3 of us, 12 of us, I guess the campuses are raising their hands, okay? How many of you found that your normal is kind of crazy sometimes? Right? Are you nervous? Okay. The process of life is kind of interesting. And so today we're going to be looking, if you want to take your Bibles in a few minutes, we'll be in the book of Luke. But I'm going to be talking on this whole aspect about life. This series is going to address the relevant questions, I think, that people are asking today. Well, one of the things that I've noticed in the past many years is being a pastor and being a leader of a group of churches is that one of the failures of the contemporary church in America especially is to help people to understand that being a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to have any problems. Let's just do a survey real quick. How many of you, since you got saved, you've had at least one problem? I think I can see pretty much everybody. It looked like 100% here, so I believe it is at the campuses as well. Here's the interesting thing is when a lot of times we kind of propagate and say, you know, if you'll just come to Jesus, He'll make your life wonderful and it'll be great and you'll never have another problem. The problem with that is that really doesn't happen. Now, He makes your life great and your eternity's out of this world, right? But right now, Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. The word that He used there was tribulation. You're going to go through some hard times, some difficulties, but He didn't stop. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, when you look at history, when you look at the history of the 12 apostles, what you find is that 11 of those 12 apostles died a martyr's death. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were stoned to death. History tells us that St. Thomas was praying and they shot him through with arrows and he died. I mean, just horrible things. And the one, John, the Revelator, he doesn't die by a martyr's death, but they tried to kill him. And history tells us they boiled him in oil and it wouldn't kill him. And so they just sent him to the isle by himself, and it wasn't a luxury island. It was a rocky, barren place, and he dies there. So that kind of tells us that Christianity is not escapism. Christianity is about learning how to live with Jesus and with Him being in our life. The problem is that a lot of times we find ourselves struggling to really know what's going on and where He is. Now, let's kind of get into today's sermon. Luke, the 2nd chapter, I'm going to read bits of this as we go through. We'll begin in verse 41, and I'll go through verse 52 as we kind of develop today. Now, let me just kind of tell the story, and that way we'll get into it. The Bible at this point is telling us about Jesus when He is 12 years old. Mary and Joseph, who are His earthly parents, are taking Him to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. It is one of 3 feasts that every good Jewish family goes to. And the Bible says that this was the custom, this was the routine in the life of Mary and Joseph, that every year they would go to Jerusalem. So they go, and the Word of God says they go and they offer their sacrifices, they do all the religious things that you're supposed to do. And then they get ready to leave Jerusalem. And they head out. Now, they're traveling in a caravan. It's not like us today. We travel. We get 4 or 5 in a car, and we're gone. In that day, there were probably hundreds of them from this little village that were traveling together. And so they leave. And the Bible tells us the story that a whole day goes by. Mary thinks Jesus is with Joseph. Joseph thinks Jesus is with Mary. They go all day long. Then they meet up that night, and Mary goes, "Where's Jesus?" And he goes, as a typical dad, "I don't know. I thought he was with you, right? And she says, well, I thought he was. And so they go to all the neighbors and all the friends and relatives, and they can't find Jesus. The Bible says they go back to Jerusalem. 3 days later, they go into the temple, and there's Jesus in the temple. Mary's all upset. She's a mom. She's really ticked. And so at this point, she goes to Jesus, and she says, what in the world are you doing? What's going on at this in your mind? And Jesus looks at her and says, what's up? Okay, he didn't say it that way. He said, didn't you know where I would be, is what he said. He said, didn't you not understand that I would be about my Father's house or my Father's business? And it's that dialogue that they have in that moment. Now, here's what I want to share with us today. I want to talk about the lessons from the life of Mary and Joseph. And I want to relate those to our lives as individuals. Now, let's look in the book of Luke, the second chapter. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Verse 41 and 42, every year Jesus is parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to their custom. Now, here's the first lesson. We live routine lives. Now, how many of you found that to be true? How many of you know that life is not always on the mountaintop and it's not always in the valley, right? Life's kind of just routine. Let me help some of you that have fallen in love and you're getting ready to get married. Let me help you. You ready? Every day won't be Disneyland. Every day will kind of become routine. Because that's part of, and routine's not bad. In fact, we need routine because it adds structure to our lives. We need to know. I mean, think about this. Think about if you got up this morning and in your house, a routine had changed and all of a sudden your bedroom had moved to the other side of the house. That'd mess your world up, wouldn't it? I mean, we need some structure. All of your clothes are, upstairs, and you lived. I mean, it's just crazy. Why? We need that structure in our life. Here's the problem. The problem is that we get so good with the routine that we don't even realize when something is missing. We can live such good lives, not bad things, not going about, we're not robbing banks and we're not cussing people out and we're not, trashing our neighborhood. We're living good lives, but we're living in such a way that we don't even realize we can go. I mean, think about this. I mean, those of you who are parents, let me ask this question because I think every parent has had this happen. How many of you have ever been somewhere when your child was small and you took your eye off of them for one moment? Like a nanosecond, not even a whole second, and they disappeared. Anybody ever had that happen? Right? And I mean, you freak, don't you? You start running around. You start calling their name. You grab your husband or your wife and say, I can't find, what? I remember Ashley did this. She's about 2 or 3 years old. Sherry was shopping with her one day, and they were in a department store, and Ashley decided it would be fun to hide in the clothes rack from her mom. She thought hide and seek was that moment. Sherry is freaking out, okay? That's what parents do. And can you imagine in this moment when Mary and Joseph, all of a sudden, there's this realization that Jesus is missing, and it's freaking them out. Well, let's keep reading. Look in verse 43. Verse 43 goes on to say, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Look at that next part. But they were unaware of it. Here's the second thing, the second lesson out of Mary and Joseph's lives is that we assume everything is okay. Come on. Most of you that have lived very long know that you can get up in the morning and before you go to bed at night, your whole world can explode. Correct? All of a sudden, you get that phone call that you weren't expecting. And somebody says on the other end, hey, those tests you had last week? Well, I've got some news for you, and it's not good news. Or somebody walks into the house and says, I want to tell you, I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm out of here. I want a divorce. I don't want to be a part of this family anymore. I'm gone. Or they walk into your job and they say, hey, we hate to tell you this, but tomorrow is your last day, and they hand you a pink slip in your life. You assume that morning when you got out of bed that everything was wonderful. You assumed that your body was healthy. You assumed that your marriage was going to hang in there. You assumed that you were going to have plenty of food and plenty of money and plenty of everything that you needed. But in the midst of that, something happened. See, here's the deal. False assumptions in our lives can lead us to wrong conclusions. And all of a sudden we go, oh, this is how life is going to be. It's always going to be this way. The problem with that is wrong conclusions can lead you to wrong action. All right? You say, I've got this job. I'm making a lot of money. I might as well just keep spending the way I've been spending, not knowing that that job is getting ready to be over. And now you're $2 million in debt. Uh-oh. Right? Because you had this job that you were making $200,000 or $300,000 a year, and so what's a couple of million dollars? But now, all of a sudden, here you are, that job is over, the economy crashes, everything falls apart, and those wrong conclusions lead to wrong actions, and then wrong actions can lead to destruction. And so all of a sudden in our lives, and this is what's happening in Mary and Joseph, they think everything is okay. Oh, Jesus is with Joseph, Mary thinks, and Joseph thinks Jesus is with Mary, and they're just going about their day, and Jesus is not even there. In your life and in my life, how often do we see that we find ourselves in that place where Jesus isn't even there, and we don't know it? Let's keep reading. Look at verse 44. Verse 44 says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Now, here's the moment of reality. We fail to realize when he is not with us, all right? Here's what's taking place. Here's what's happening. They have gone, think about this for a minute. Let's kind of backtrack for a minute. Can I do that with you? Let's look at this for a minute. Remember that Mary had an angel appear to her and said, this is the Messiah, right? This one who is going to be born of you is being born by the Holy Spirit, and he's going to save his people from their sin. Joseph has a dream where an angel shows up and says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this which is born of the Holy Spirit. Goes through that. Now, they are on a journey. Now, think about where they're going. They are on a spiritual pilgrimage to encounter, watch, to encounter God. Does anybody else see the disconnect there? God was in the house every day for 12 years. Come on. For 12 years, the Bible says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead robed in flesh. Jesus is there, but they have gotten so familiar with him that even when he disappears, they don't know he's not there. Can I talk to us a minute? Would it be okay just to kind of get in your world for a second? How often in our lives do we go through the ritual of churchianity? We come to church, we might even lift our hands, we sing the songs, we listen to the sermon. If we're real spiritual, we even take the pastor's notes. And all the while, we live our lives not even knowing that Jesus is gone. We live a life of ritual but not relationship. We know how to say hallelujah, brother. Praise God. What we don't know is we don't even know how to live out this thing called Christianity, which is a relationship with God. Verse 45 goes on to say, when they didn't find him, I'll just paraphrase it. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Here's the fourth thing that this story drives me to, and that is his absence sends us searching. When he's not there, now let me say this. This is the place of decision. This is the moment that you're going to make a decision. When you realize that he is not in your life, and it may be that you've never invited him in, you've never asked Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, you've never come to that moment where you've said, you know what, it really is important that I ask Jesus Christ into my life. It really. You say, well, Pastor, my life's pretty good and things are going well. I'm not saying you're not doing good. I'm not saying things aren't going okay in your life. What I am saying, though, there is coming a moment, there is coming a day in your life where you are going to face something, and that in that moment, you've got to make a decision. Do I go search after Jesus, or do I continue the way I've been living? Now, here's what's interesting. Here's what I find. I find so many Christians who made a decision. In that moment, they gave their lives to God. They got saved. They began to walk out this thing called Christianity. They got baptized. They got filled with the Spirit. But all of a sudden, life started happening. And they got in ritual, and they got in routine, and things got normal. Oh, they still show up to church. Now, the problem is they don't show up as much as they used to. Uh-oh. You know, Pastor, you got to understand, it's just that season of life. And Pastor, don't you understand that, I just can't be there every Sunday. Pastor, you really expect me to come four times a month? I wonder what would happen if we only ate four times a month. I'll keep moving, Pastor. You done meddling now. See, in this moment, you determine whether or not you're going to continue on the way you've been living, or in this moment, are we going to search after Him? The problem is we search for Him in all the wrong places. You know, it's kind of like that old song from way back in my day that says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Isn't it interesting that Mary and Joseph, it takes them 3 days to determine, hey, we might ought to go back to the temple. Seems like if we know that He is the Messiah, we might go to the house of God first. But how often I see people, you okay? Who have at one time had a relationship with God, but now He has become secondary, third, fourth, 28th in their life. And they hit that moment that they realize He's not here. What should I do? Well, you know, well, we're doing pretty good. So they continue to live the pace of life they've been living. Instead of understanding in the moment that you realize that He's not there, is the moment that you have a choice to make. And that choice is going to determine whether or not you are going to live out what God has called you to live out, or you are going to live a self-centered, selfish life. And a lot of Christians are doing it. You say, Pastor, this sermon really is not fun, I know. But sometimes somebody needs to show up and say, where's Jesus? Where's He at? Can you remember when you first got saved? How many of you can remember? Come on, how many of you remember when you first got saved? How many of you remember that you loved to go to church? You couldn't wait to pray. You couldn't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. And yet, if we're not careful, we have become so caught up in the normal routine of life that everything has become more important than Jesus. And what we don't realize is that we're telling our kids, our grandkids, even our great-grandchildren, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. You don't believe I'm a Christian? Go look at my bumper. I got a fish on my bumper. And you know what I've told you about the fish on your bumper and the bird out your window, don't I? All right. You got a Jesus sticker back there. You even bought a new Love and Truth shirt. But what's your relationship like with Jesus? Let's keep reading because it's getting way too convicting. Verse 46 and 47, after 3 days, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard Him was amazed at His understanding and at His answers. Here's the fifth lesson that I find from Mary and Joseph, and that is this: He can always be found. He can always be found. In fact, let me say this to you. They should have looked there first, shouldn't they? Now, let me help you. You ready? I don't want this to hurt too bad, but I want you to hear me. We leave Jesus. Jesus doesn't leave us. All right? It's not that you woke up one morning and Jesus picked up and packed up and moved out. It is that you picked up, packed up, and moved out. Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will go with you till the end of the age. So if there's been any leaving, if Jesus is not around, it's not because he has left me. It's because I have left him. Now, I don't know if you found this to be true about Jesus. Sometimes Jesus can be a little inconvenient. Am I the only one? Come on. There are sometimes, you say, Pastor, really? Yeah. I mean, there are sometimes the things that Jesus said are just a little inconvenient. Like, love those who hate you? No. Come on. Turn the other cheek? Are you kidding me? I mean, those are just inconvenient things. I mean, I got saved and I quit using some language, but sometimes, am I the only one? I got saved and I believe I'm even sanctified, but I still remember those words. And every once in a while, some of those words would fit some people. And I'd love just to kind of share my intellectual acumen with them. And just let them know what I really think about them. But Jesus said, I can't do that. That I've got to love those who use me in the wrong way. And so I think Jesus was, let me just ask this. How many of you raised or have one of those children who are just always asking questions? Anybody got those? You got some, you've had some of those? I mean, they're just, it's like every time that kid walks in, they've got 18 questions. Can you imagine having Jesus as your kid? Now, let me take it a step further. Can you imagine having Jesus as your older brother? And your mama looking at you and says, why can't you be more like Jesus? Now, that's horrible, right? But I don't know on this day that Jesus is kind of disappeared and they're on their trip. I kind of think that Mary and Joseph are a little bit relieved. It's like, I don't know, I think he's with his dad, but at least he's not asking me a bunch of questions. And Joseph is going, man, we're talking carpentry up here, and I'm telling him how to build this and that. And I'm making all this stuff happen. And so he's got that going, and he's just saying, man, I'm glad Jesus didn't show up today because he'd ask me, have you prayed? And I know that he knows if I have. See, that's the thing about having Jesus around. He already knows before he asks the question. In fact, let me just say this with you. I'll share this bit of knowledge. Anytime God asks you something, he's not looking for an answer. He already knows, right? When he shows up and goes, have you, he's really not looking for you to come up with some great, he already knows what's happening. And so I think in this moment that they have just kind of come to that place that Jesus has just gotten a little inconvenient for them. It's kind of like us. We live life and life is good, but sometimes being a real Christian is inconvenient. Really living out what Jesus Christ told you to live out just really doesn't fit. I mean, he tells you to do good to the poor, and I look at him and go, get a job. Am I the only one? I just see them holding their signs, we'll work for food, and I go, you lying? You won't because I got a bunch of work at the house, you won't do a bit of it? Why y'all get quiet and look at me like that? And yet, Jesus is constantly tweaking. Jesus is constantly working in our lives and trying to get us to go to the next level with him. And what he's saying to us today, and I want you to get this, what he's saying to us today is it's not so much that you're in chaos. We'll talk the next few weeks. I'll talk about when it seems like he doesn't care. And then one week I'm going to talk about when deliverance doesn't come in your life. We'll talk about some of those. But today's just kind of about life's good. Everything's moving along. But Jesus just kind of isn't the priority at this moment. Pastor, you got to understand, man, I'm just getting ahead on my job and the kids, Pastor, I know you hadn't seen me in 3 months, but man, my kid, he's on his travel ball team. Oh, help me, Jesus, Lord, did he go there? And you know, I know church is important, but, you know, little Johnny's going to get a scholarship. And let me just help you, most of you, if you just took that same amount of money you're spending every weekend and put it in a college fund, you might have something. Anyway, let's keep moving, Pastor. Stop. Yeah, stop, okay? But what we just did was, listen to your pastor. I've been around a while. What we just said to our child is Jesus is inconvenient. We'll serve him. We'll go to church, when it's convenient. We'll be faithful when it fits in our schedule. We'll show up when it's okay for us. But when Jesus shows up and makes life uncomfortable and inconvenient, we say, I love you, Jesus, but could you just wait over there somewhere? I'm saved. I got the badge. I got baptized. I received the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, right now, you're inconvenient. I knew it'd be quiet. But it's true. Let me kind of bring it to home. Look in verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, now listen carefully to what she said, son. And I don't think it's like, son, we're just missing you. Come on, how many of you know your mama can tune up on you? All right, I'm 58 years old and my mama still can get on my case. All right? So I don't think it's one of those nice little kinds. I think she's saying, son, how have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Now watch what Jesus says. Why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? And it goes on, verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. All right? Number six is this. The lesson that we learn here is that we will never understand his ways. Now let me share something with you. Mary says to Jesus, your father and I, and she is referring to Joseph. When Jesus answers, look what he says. Jesus answered and he says, my father, and he's referring to God. Okay? He understood that Joseph was there in a fatherly role. But he says, look, I am not about what you are about. Here in the New International Version, it says, I must be about my father's house. The King James Version says, I must be about my father's business. But the translation of the Greek really says this. It says, do you not know I must be about father? Now think about that for a moment. How many times did they come to Jesus and they'd want Jesus to do something, and Jesus would reply to them, I can only do what I see the Father do. What is he saying to us? He is saying, look, I've got to be about what the Father is about. Now think about this for a minute. The Bible says that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, and he was sent on a mission from God for us. And here is what the Father's heart is about. The will of the Father is to seek and to save the lost. That's all it's about. That's God's heart about humanity. So Jesus looks at Mary and Joseph and said, don't you remember what the angel said? I'm here for one purpose, and that purpose is to seek and to save the lost. He hasn't changed. His whole aspect of relating to humanity is still about seeking and saving. Whoever you are today, wherever you're at in your life, if you're a believer today, then thank God for that. But if you're here today and you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ and you haven't asked him into your life, the whole aspect of the entirety of the Bible is about you coming to relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing God's heart is about is seeking and saving the lost. It ends up, the story ends up in verse 51. It says this. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. What I would say to us today is this. As you live life, and most of life is routine, most of life is normal, most of life is you're going to get up this week, you're going to work 40 hours, some of you 50 hours, you're going to come home, you're going to have a paycheck, you're going to have bills to pay, you got to take care of family stuff, you're going to have Saturday to do all the stuff you didn't do all week long, you're going to come to church hopefully on Sunday. And then you're going to start back Monday with the same normal routine. The problem is when you live it week after week after week after week, and Jesus is an afterthought. Oh, Pastor, I still pray for my food. I know, and I know what you say. Jesus bless this food. Amen. How long has it been since you shut the television off and you turned off every bit of entertainment and you took the Bible and you sat down and said, Lord, today, for the next 5 minutes, speak to me from your word? When was the last time you prayed when you didn't need something? Oh, we'll talk about when you get in a mess. That'll be the next couple of weeks. But when life is just good, when was the last time you say, you know what? Not only am I going to spend some time in His Word, but I'm going to spend some time talking to Him. And I'm just going to tell Him, Lord, I love You. And I know I've been busy, and I'm sorry that I haven't spent time, but God, I want You to know that You're the most important thing in my life. And you just tell Him, Lord, help me to fall in love with You all over again. Because I want to tell you, the thing that keeps Jesus real in our lives are those moments that we spend in His Word and those moments we spend talking to Him. And I've been doing this a long time, and I found out the longer I live for God, the more precious those moments are. And I find they're sustaining, even on good days, that I just make it part of that normal routine to say, God, today I'm going to spend some time with You. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to wake up one day, and if you're not careful, you're going to have gone a day, 2 days, a month, a year, and not even realize Jesus isn't there. And the worst thing that can ever happen to us is to realize that Jesus isn't there and to not really care. And I see it happen all the time. As men and women who once were on fire for God, who couldn't wait to be in His presence again, have now got to the place that it really doesn't matter that He's not in their life. I challenge you as I close, check yourself out today. There are some of you today who you need to ask Him for the very first time to come into your life. But there are some of us who need to say, Lord, I've gotten so busy. I've gotten so caught up in routine and ritual that I've forgotten how precious Your presence really is. Today, speak to me. Speak into my heart one more time. Let me find You today. And I promise you, if that's your heart, you'll find Him. Amen.